One, two, three. Samuel, you always make everybody sound good, look good. You're good looking good this morning. Have you got my picture, dude? Awesome. Yeah. Good morning, everybody. It always feels like family when I come, and it truly is an honor to be here. You know, Phyllis and Rick and the family. When I go different places and have the opportunity that God gives me, I always kind of get, I feel like an impartation from different places, and it's always different wherever I go, but here, it's always like family. It's just like when I'm here, I just kind of want to take my shoes off. I'll leave them on because my feet may stink here, but it's like I want to take my shoes off because I'm amongst family. I mean, yesterday, I got to your house before you all got there because you're in Canton, and I just thought the door's probably unlocked. So I just checked, and it was. I hollered. I mean, I yelled because I didn't want to walk in anybody. But I yelled, and nobody was there. So I just brought my stuff in, put it downstairs in my room, downstairs in the basement, down there in the Holy of Holies, down there in the bottom of the house, and just hung out in the kitchen. It just felt like home. I didn't feel weird. You got? Can I do what?
Can you fix the fire
line? No, I didn't. Oh, shoot. But I didn't feel weird. You guys have a good way about you don't make people feel weird or odd or out of place. And that's kind of what family, wow, that just kind of hit. There I go already. I haven't even started, but that's how it feels here. You don't make people feel weird. You make people feel wanted. Before I start, you know, Grace, I asked Grace, is really a prophetic thing that Grace, I'd never met Grace before, have I? I don't believe. If maybe at a distance, maybe not face to face. Come on up here with me, Grace. Is it Grace or Gracie? What do you prefer?
I don't care.
You don't care. Well, I'll call you Grace then. And I thought she was like a freshman. She says she's a sixth grader. There's something prophetic that, you know, the year is sitting beside me this morning and about this evangelism thing, and I'll get into that. But I just thought, you know, she's the one that needs to just ask Holy Spirit just to kind of like take over right now. We need him all the time, don't we? I mean, you needed him yesterday, you need him today, you need him tomorrow. But I just really want Holy Spirit just to like be in charge. So why don't you just do whatever it is you do and pray, okay? Real loud.
Okay, real loud?
Real loud so they can hear you.
Real loud?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. You be you. You be you.
Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit, just come in and fall on us and just open everyone's eyes and just come in and.
Yes, God.
And let's pray and just Holy Spirit, just come in.
Amen. 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 Come in and have fun. Good, good. Thank you very much. Thank you. I can see you. It is a privilege to be here. It really is. And if you want to get your Bibles, your phones out to kind of get them ready, God led me to some scripture that I'm going to, you know, speak about this morning. I think it's a message for this church, but it's also for the church with a capital C. I've never given it before, but I think it's something that's happening today. It's something that's happened today. And it's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. So we'll get there in a couple minutes. But I've been, you know, I think about you guys a lot. I really do. And I pray for you guys a lot. And I just ponder, and when I ponder about you guys, it's always good thoughts. It's not like, oh gosh, wonder, you know, there's always great, thank you, sir. There's always great thoughts. And I really believe God ponders and thinks about you guys a lot too. You're always on God's mind. And oftentimes, like just now this morning, I kind of had these words, these kind of like downloads, and I just kind of like spit them out. But as I was mowing the lawn a couple weeks ago, I started getting these words, and it was like, you need to write them down. So this is what I got for you all a couple weeks ago while I was mowing the lawn. I love mowing the lawn. I just do. I just love being outside, and God talks to me, and I talk to him, and I just love mowing the lawn. And here's what I got. Hanoverton is a light in the middle of nowhere. An epicenter of nowhere, such as Nazareth, But people will find you as you find them. And many will come. But people will come not to see the light, but to see what the light has exposed, what the light has birthed, and what the light has made evident. These are the last days. This place may not become a place of hundreds, but hundreds will come and be sent, and thousands will be touched by the light within your circle of influence. Hanoverton is a place of hope and evangelism because you are a people of love and light. This has begun, but has only just begun. Prepare your hearts, prepare your homes, and plan your day, not the coming days. Tomorrow's plans are already in place. So there you go. The whole thing? Seriously? Okay, I will. Hanoverton is a light in the middle of nowhere, an epicenter of nowhere, such as Nazareth. But people will find you as you find them, and many will come. But people will come not to see the light, but to see what the light has exposed, what the light has birthed, and what the light has been made evident. These are the last days. This place may not become a place of hundreds, but hundreds will come and be sent. And thousands will be touched by the light within your circle of influence. Hanoverton is a place of hope and evangelism because you are a people of love and light. This has begun, but has only just begun. Prepare your hearts, prepare your homes, and plan your day, not the coming days. Tomorrow's plans are already in place. So we just breathe God's breath. I think he already has breathed on that, and we'll let him figure out all the details, you know. But this is a special place. You guys are in a special place. And I know I've said that many times every time I come, and it's true, and I'm not just saying that. You guys are a big deal. In this hour, about an hour from everywhere, influence is real. And this 50-mile thing is real. And these thousands are real. I'll get to my message here in a second. But don't wait to be talking to the thousands. Talk to the ones. Those seeds that you plant, Tom and everybody, don't get all bent out of shape about the 50,000 per acre. It's planted one seed at a time. One of those seeds is dropped each time. Boom, 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 boom. As that tractor and that planter is going across. Don't expect it to be 50,000 all at once. But I'm not saying it's not either. So, okay. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5, a different type of a scripture, okay? And it's interesting what our conversation has been in the last day and a half, and God led me to this. But mark this, this is out of the NIV, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now hone in on this last part. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. But mark this, in the last days, there'll be terrible times, tough times. People will have a form of godliness, but deny its power. Don't have anything to do with such people. Now, in this message today, I mean, we could focus on the terrible times, the tough times. We could do that. Okay, so where is that going to get us? Depressed? I'm not going to do that because I believe the church as a whole, in the church here in this part of the state, we can shine during tough times. You have. I've heard stories, man. I've heard stories about you folks and about this church, the stories of perseverance and stories of walking through and keep moving. I mean, that's you guys. And that's impressive, and God's impressed with that too. But as I was saying, I think it was to Maria when we were at her house, Maria and Brady's, We were talking about, they were telling the story about how they found their house and how God found the house for them, and they had found some land, and you probably know the story better than I because she told me, and I'm not really good at telling stories like that, but land, and that didn't work out, and the house, and Brady knew the house, and now it's this amazing deal, and all these things coming to pass. And it's like when I heard that story, it made me think again what something else the Lord's been talking to me about going from glory to glory. And yeah, we may be in tough times, but God is still taking us from glory to glory. And in my background, if in the business world, the corporate world, you hear people, their job changes, okay? They're in a different department. They're doing something different. And people often ask, well, is it a promotion or is it like a lateral move? And you hear both. You hear both. Rarely a demotion, but usually a promotion or a lateral move. In the kingdom, there are no lateral moves. And there are no demotions. It may feel like it, but there aren't. With God, glory to glory, it's always a step up. And it's not always a bigger thing, but it's always a better thing. So there's no lateral moves in the kingdom. And even during tough times, when people are shining, it's not going from bump, 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 the same. God's desire is always going closer to him, deeper with him, and in a better relationship. So we could focus on terrible times, but we're not. We could focus on such people, all those nasty people that we talked about. But I've also kind of read the Bible, I think it's in Matthew, that let's don't worry about the speck in somebody else's eye when I got a stinking 2x4 sticking out of mine. So we're not going to talk about that today. But what I want to do is what God is speaking to us today. And it's this. And to talk about what God wants to speak about today, I'm going to go backwards a little bit. I've shared with you before that a pastor of mine, Pastor John, who since passed away 12 years ago, said you need to journal things, important things, miracles, and critical things in your life. So I started doing that, and I've got a bunch of pages. But the Lord brought me to this remembrance of this story in January of 2008. So I'm in Starbucks, imagine that, in my Starbucks ministry, you know, coaching somebody. And that person that morning, and I'm allowed to tell the story because I've asked permission from Randy. His name is Randy Dawson. He's the CFO of a company in Marion, probably be the president here soon. And I think I had a meeting with him at 6:30 in the morning. So I was there at 6 at Starbucks at my little table, no nameplate or anything, just my table. And I was reading, and during those times in January of 2008, I was reading a lot of Exodus. This is what he led me to. And about the Israelites coming out of Egypt. And the Lord had done these amazing things, these miracles, mighty miracles, to let these people go, to release them out of that slavery. And then they go out and then they come up against the Red Sea and they go, oh gosh, we should have been back in Egypt. Then God opens the Red Sea and then boom, and hallelujah time. And then soon thereafter, they have food and they have manna, and then they get tired of the manna and they start grumbling again. And wouldn't it be great to have the food we had back in Egypt? And then God gives them something else. And then there's something else about the water, and there wasn't enough water. Did you bring us out here to die? Like, he just took you through the stinking Red Sea. You're going to die now? No, he wasn't. So then he got water from a rock and just on and on and on. But within 24 to 48 hours or whatever different days, people would see amazing things. Then we'd be grumbling. So I'm sitting there in January 2008 on that cold morning reading that. And I thought, we are these people. I am that person, you know? And Randy tells the story that he came in and he kind of walked past my table there, and it's like I just ignored. It's like I was in a trance, you know, with the Lord and the Spirit reading in Exodus. So he gets up and gets his coffee and comes back to the table, and he says, "Good morning, Ron." I look up and he said, "It's like you just had like fire in your eyes," and you look up at me and you just yelled. He said, "We are these people," and he goes, "What people?" And I told him that story, and he said it did something to him, probably scared him. But he says he'll never forget that day because it did do something to him. And I say it did something to me because it's like I made a declaration, you know, to the Lord that we're these people. I didn't want to be. I didn't want to be. And I think in that next 8-year period of 2008 through 2016, you know, in that time frame, It's like God has brought, and it's just not me, I think the church, through 8 years of introspection and repentance. Now, does that mean it stops? No. I mean, God always wants to lay our hearts bare before him and say, you know, God, just expose the light in me. And if you see anything in me that needs change, tweak me. I give you permission, you know, because he loves to keep us centered upon him. But it's like we went through 8 years of that, and 8 years of during that time frame, at least for me, but I think for some other people that I hang with, and maybe this will resonate in your hearts too, it brought a hunger in us. A hunger for God's presence when we finally said yes to saying, God, just take all that junk and get rid of it. And let me look more like you. It made us hungry for his presence. And then during that time frame, really understanding to a higher level of this, you know, not wanting to be a slave anymore. Of that, they came out of Egypt, you know? They weren't slaves anymore, and they understanding sons and daughters. And during this last 8 years, I think the church has really started to understand, starting to get a glimpse, because we ain't arrived, but starting to get a glimpse of really what does it mean to be a son or a daughter of the King. So that's been this last 8 years. And I just think, today, in December of 2016, we're talking about declarations. I'm making another declaration that, you know, we are not these people. Amen. We're not the Israelites, you know, and we are not those such people like Paul was saying in 2 Timothy that are all that list of yuckiness. You know, we're not. We're not these people. We're going to be a people with God's heart. And we're going to have his power. That's us. So why? Why has all this been happening in the last X period of years? For me and my small mind and my heart for the last 8 years. And maybe you're starting to think politically here. And I didn't really even start thinking politically. Well, that doesn't sound. I've been thinking, I think, politically a lot. I've been involved in this, not being politically correct, but I've been thinking about what's going on in the world. So it's not like I've been, you know, I don't want to see that. But I didn't attribute this stuff to any politics. Don't start intertwining that. You just let the Lord speak to you. But in these last, I think we needed to go through these last 8 years in the church so we could be ready for this next 8 years. And don't read anything more into that than what I just said. 8 years is it's a span of time. It's a span of time. But something, God, I've said before, and I've heard you all say too, that revival has begun. It's not like we're hoping for it. It has begun. And I truly believe it's begun to a new level in 2016. But we've just tasted and seen that the Lord is good. But is it really true? Is revival really happening? Is it really happening? Or are we just kind of like blowing smoke? Like you said, Ashley, you opened up, you put wood in the fire this morning, and it poofs out smoke in your face. Are we just blowing smoke, or is it real? I don't think so. I believe it's real. Are we just talking about revival and thinking that this is just, you know, is it real? Is it built on solid foundation, or is it on sinking sand? I don't believe so, because I think we had to go through this last season to help make that structure more strong in our lives. Or are we, I think it's in Proverbs, it talks about, you know, the rain clouds, the storm clouds with no rain. Who wants to be a storm cloud or a cloud with no rain? It's time to first have rain in our hearts. So I don't believe it's just hope built on nothing. This is real. It's real life. Revival's begun. And I hear stories. I hear stories like you're talking about yesterday and what's going on in the lives of you folks. That's a big deal, what you guys did in Canton. It's a big deal. And I guess it's not like I'm trying to here to tell you that it's a big deal, because I believe you already know that it is. I don't believe, I know that you know that it is. But I also want you to catch this vision that it's like all over. It's like all over the place. And sometimes we can start to feel like we're on this little island that, you know, is it happening in other places? I know you're having people in from different places and you're hearing it. Why more of these other guys coming to saying, it's happening? I think, you know, Andy and Vicki Weber, they've been here a couple times. They've got four little ones now because they're adopting two more. And they wanted to be here. They're planning on coming and they're just overwhelmed by life right now. And they've got four little ones and it's Christmas and Andy was sick, blah, blah, blah. So they didn't get to come. But Andy and Vicki Weber are ordinary people doing extraordinary things, just like you all. And Andy is involved in something called the Band of Brothers. And Vicki is involved in something called Hearts of Beauty. Maybe you've heard of it, maybe you hadn't. I don't know. I hadn't heard of it before I met them. They have weekend retreats twice a year, spring and the fall. And they had another one like in late October timeframe. And the combination of both two different retreats, and they've had these every year, and they've been good and good things happen. But this time in the combination, I want to try to get this close to being right, they have between the two different retreats about 140 people go to these retreats of a weekend of just being together with other people and knowing that they're not alone, but also just hearing what God wants to do in the world and what he wants to do in their lives. In October, over 70 people got saved out of that 140. Wow. Over half the people, and these majority are church people, but they'd never given their hearts to the Lord. So over 50% of the people that went said yes to the Lord, and their lives were restored and transformed. They said that's never even come close to happening before. I've been, I was excited, Grace, that you were sitting beside me and what y'all were doing this weekend, this evangelistic thing that's going on. I've had the opportunity, and I call it the opportunity and privilege, to lead more people to the Lord in 2016, and I'm 57, than the first 56 years of my life. Now, maybe I've been sitting on my hands. Probably true at times. Maybe I've been thinking I should do something and not do it, saying no to the Lord. Guarantee you, true at times. And then other times I've been talking to people, and it just wasn't the right time. And that's true. But I'm telling you, folks, the fields are white into harvest. And people are just waiting for you to ask. It is like stinking time to use the voice. It's like time. But in all of this, what does it take? I didn't even look to see what time I started. Holy cow. I didn't look. Okay. There's a clock right there. That's probably why you put it there. My bad. Okay, I'm maybe half done. Okay. All right. Okay. But what does it take for us to really be in this? And I think it takes three main things. And this message today is a message of courage. Oh, and he's been up there the whole time, hasn't he? The rhino. Yeah. I'm going to get to that. It takes courage. But courage is and the Lord's been talking to me a lot about this, sandwiched between identity and unity. But God is into courage. Rhinos. Why do I have a rhino behind me? Number one, this is a painting of a prophetic picture that a guy from Tip City, Heath Xavier, painted for our church. And there's a whole story behind that. But then there's some good friends of mine that live there, the senior pastors of the Toledo Vineyard, Bill and Barb Herzog. Well, I've been hanging with them for the last year. And they've been talking about rhinos. They've been teaching me about rhinos. And this has like gotten into me. This is a God thing. So let me tell you a little bit about rhinos and groups of rhinos. But speaking about groups of bugs and animals and whatnot, so insects are called swarms, okay? Insects are swarms. Ants are colonies. Cattle are herds. Birds are flocks. Lions are a pride. Buzzards are a committee. Do y'all have any committees here? A bunch of buzzards? A group of flamingos are called flamboyants. That just cool or what? And owls are called a parliament. Is that just like stinking cool or what? But rhinos are called a crash. C-R-A-S-H. A group of rhinos. Why? Okay, here's some info about rhinos. Like, You didn't think you're going to come and learn about rhinos today. But rhinos are like, they're amazing creatures. They can weigh, a mature rhino, they weigh about a ton, 2,000 pounds. It's a big animal. The cattle on my farm, when we used to, a big steer was 1,200 pounds, 1,250. A rhino is 2,000. That's a monster. They can run up to 30 miles an hour. Whoa. Ponder that. A 2,000-pound animal running 30 miles an hour. I'm sure not for 2 miles, but a short distance. They're nearsighted. They can only see 30 feet ahead of them. Okay, let's start to wrap your heads around this. So you would think that a one-ton animal that can run 30 miles an hour could, but can only see 30 feet in front of him, would be paralyzed. That, I don't know, I could hit something. But rhinos don't get paralyzed. They run full blast without apprehension because they know where they're supposed to go. They can sense that we're moving this feet, in this area, I should say. They're not concerned that they can't see over 30 feet because they know this is the direction they're going. The other rhinos are going too, so we're all going the right direction. Whatever's out there 45 feet, we're not going to worry about it because we know what's in front of us. All right. So if that is the fact, and then thinking more about rhinos in the crash, whether they're running 30 miles an hour in a group or whether they are all laying by their favorite watering hole, resting. So they rest. You've seen rhinos in the mud and the water and all that kind of stuff. If they're resting by and sleeping, they're still called a crash because of their potential. Wouldn't it be good for the church to catch that vision? And I'm a future guy. I'm a destiny guy, okay? So, there's that tension of the Bible. We just can't be like all over here now and forget about that. No, it's not that. We want to be forward-thinking and destiny thought and that our process and thinking about the future, thinking about eternity, of course. But don't get so stinking wrapped up in next month or 6 months down the road that we get in this paralysis analysis and we can't move or we may hit something. So we need to move forward. And it's so important for the church. You can't have momentum without movement. It's kind of part of it. And we've got to get moving, and it's time. So I'm thinking about some stories of some people that I've seen and been associated with these last few weeks, actually. And one is Casey Biederman. Excuse me a second here. Casey Biederman is a Methodist pastor that's a revivalist. And Casey is a she. She's probably 28 years old in Crawford County, former drug addict, heroin, whole nine yards, kicked out of the Navy because she was on drugs. I mean, she's got dreads. She's got tats from top to bottom. You know those people with tats. Some of you may not know that, so I didn't want to be something weird. Tats, gauges, piercings. And she is a revivalist, United Methodist pastor. And God just got a hold of her life in the last two and a half years. And she is now, she was one of the speakers at the Marked Ones conference in October in Marion. And I wanted her because she knows her identity. And she's not afraid because she knows who she is. And because of knowing her identity, she has great courage. I love Casey. Maybe you'll meet her someday. I do a lot of coaching with CEOs and senior pastors across the state, and there's this one CEO that I know that, he's doing quite well. I mean, it's a multi-million dollar corporation in several states, and, he's got a brand new Jaguar and a Ducati and a $250,000 mobile home. The guy's doing well, so you'd think he's got the world by the tail. You know, he's a guy just like you and I. I'm sitting there in his office and we're talking about some issues and going through stuff. And he is a great guy and a good friend. And he lacks courage and boldness. Now think about that, okay? He's got people in different states, multi-million dollar company, doing quite well, but he's got fear and he lacks courage. And combine that into this, he's a former Baptist minister. He's probably in his early 40s. And I said, I'll call him Bob. His name's not Bob. I'll say, Bob, I said, you ever heard tell of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? He goes, well, yeah. And I said, I think that's what you need. He goes, I do? And so we went through what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of fire, which gives us boldness and courage. That's why Jesus said to stay in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. There's something to that. There was real. So he said, okay. And I said, do you think that would be good? And he goes, well, yeah. And I said, well, you just want to pray now? And he goes, okay. So I had him turn on some, had to create atmosphere. I said, well, turn on some worship music. So he turned on some worship music, went around back of him, laid hands on him. He starts speaking in tongues, and there's a whole story after that. And he got amazing courage and boldness that day that only can come from Holy Spirit in his office to a person you'd think he's full of courage and boldness. No, he's not, because he's a normal guy. But courage is important. But what he had was courage and humility, and he knows he needs more of God. Last person here, Julie Cummins. Julie Cummins is our home group leader. I've got a home group in Delaware and one in Marion, and she is the host there. She's a great lady. Just love Julie. And I've been really encouraging them to share the gospel, to tell people about Jesus, just to plant seeds. But be willing to also be a harvester and to tell people. So she's a home group leader. She's a counselor, and she's in charge of a counseling area. So I'm encouraging my home group to share the gospel. 3 days later, she's going to lunch with a lady who she just fired the week before. Okay? She just fired the week before, but she wanted continued relationship and unity. So she said, well, let's get together sometime. So she called her up and had lunch with her. And they had, you know, still relationship because she's still it just doesn't work out sometimes, okay? She led her to the Lord at Applebee's, and that lady has now been coming to home group every week since then, has now come to church. And I asked that lady, I said, why did you come back? Why did you come? She goes, you know, I've never felt part of anything. I've never felt wanted. And Julie cared, even though we went through some tough times. Julie wanted unity. God wants unity. But it took courage to be able to, I've never done that. Fired somebody, then ask them out to lunch the next week and then speak into their lives. I haven't done it. That takes courage. And you have to believe in family and unity. Courage is the common denominator. Courage is the ability to do something that frightens you. It originates from a Latin word named cor that means heart. C-O-R, cor, that's where it originates. And that means you have the ability to do something brave that generates out of the heart. It's not worldly courage, it's spiritual, godly courage. And I believe in these days, God is releasing a new level and anointing of courage to the body of Christ, and he's doing it here in Hanoverton. When I mentioned about the Marked Ones conference there of October, and when I was praying early in the year and like early summer, I thought, well, God, what do you want to do? I mean, God, you know, it's like we have to have a theme. And does God have to have a theme? He doesn't have to, but he does at times. I said, so what do you want to do, God? And I heard that song, Spirit Breakout, by whoever that lady is in Bethel, whoever it is. And I kept hearing that in my head and in my heart. And I thought, that's what he wants. It's going to be the Spirit Breakout Conference. So we said, yes. And then I'm mowing the lawn again. So I'm mowing the lawn. I started to think, you know, but there's something more. Of course God wants to break his spirit out, but in what? Is there something specific? And then I heard, as sure as I'm sitting here or seeing you or standing here seeing you folks, it says courage. He's going to break out with courage. And that's what's happened in this last year's courage, because the church needs courage. The church needs to be a Christ of rhinos, and the church needs to know their identity. You can't be a Christ unless you know you're a rhino. If they didn't know they were rhinos, if they thought they were puppy dogs, they wouldn't run 30 miles an hour and be fearless. No, they're stinking rhinos. They're strong, and they know where they're going, not caught and worrying, but believing, and with kingdom courage, not worldly courage. and to be in unity. It's so beautiful to come here, and it's beautiful. You guys have been to our place, and we've now got some folks that come here, and you've got some folks from up this neck of the woods that go to our church. It's crazy. It's crazy good. It's time for the church in unity. And on the last page here, the last thing, it's time for that. It's time for the church to look like that. Kind of, sort of. And finally, I thought of Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2, you probably know it, but it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds." And I think what this is all about is renewal, because, you know, God's not limited by size. He's just not, you know. He can feed thousands of people on a hillside with a couple fish and a couple loaves of bread. And you know, we can get, you know, all worried and all troubled about, you know, size and time and stuff. And the renewed mind is neither impressed nor intimidated by size. The renewed mind thinks differently. The renewed mind is different because it comes from a kingdom realm that there's no limits. There's no limits. There's an unlimited supply to any problem or issue that we have in life. It's just limitless. It's just limitless. The renewed mind is courageous. The renewed mind is a revived mind. It's a revivalist mind. The renewed mind does not deny. The renewed mind does not have a form of godliness. It is godly. The renewed mind does not lack power. It is powerful. The renewed mind understands courage and understands that part of that equation, it's not the total equation, but part of that equation, and of course, God being at the centerpiece of it all. That's without even being said. But we renewed mind with courage, understanding who we are, identity, and then being together. We've got to have unity. The renewed mind and courage is contagious. It's very contagious. And courage changes the atmosphere. And that's what I believe for you folks today. So I was going to say a little prayer or do something here. Do you want me to do that? You want then whatever, because I don't want to step on your toes of what the Lord's leading you into. But why don't we just stand for a minute? I just want to make a declaration over y'all. This is the day of declarations. And we need courage, folks. We need courage. And then I'm going to ask, I want to hear what you want to do next, Phyllis. But then if there's, after we do this kind of the general declaration and belief, if there's an area of your life that you're just really needing courage in, desiring more, believe you're called, and that's maybe part of the puzzle that you've been missing, of just that boldness and that courage, come on up and hang out with me, and we'll just pray together and chat, okay? All right? So Father, we just thank you right now. And Lord, we just say together as a people, as a family, that we are not these people. We are not these people that have a form of godliness and deny your power. We are rhinos, God. We are rhinos, God, because we know our identity. We know there's power in unity. And we know who we are in you, that you are our Father, and we are your sons and daughters. And Lord, we just cry out to you this morning for courage in this next season that we're moving into. And Father, we just declare right now for just an anointing, a new level of courage to come into this family right here, into the church as a whole, but most specifically right here in this significant place that's in the middle of nowhere, a significant place in the middle of nowhere that's being filled with your courage, God. kingdom realm courage, that Lord, when they move, they're not paralyzed, that they're not afraid, that they move in boldness, they move in courage, Lord, and they go the direction because they can sense you. They've been in your presence, Lord, that we've been in your presence, and we know that you're a good father, and you will not lead us nor forsake us, and you are not going to run us into a wall that we're going to hit our heads, that you're going to lead us in the direction that we should go to progress your kingdom in this day of revival. So, Father, may we not be paralyzed, may we not be apprehensive, but may this people today, Lord, may we be bold and courageous as a rhino, courageous as you, courageous as your son Jesus, who is the perfect model of courage, God. May we look like Jesus. May we smell like him. May we walk like him. May we talk like him, Father, and may we run like him, full of courage and full of your joy. We thank you for that, God. May we be different. Transform us, restore us, renew our minds. Do we have that renewed mind that you desire for us to have? And when we walk out these doors, God, when we're talking to family members, our friends, or in the stores, or wherever we are, they say, man, your voice sounds different. You look different. You talk different. And they say, are you? You say, yeah, I am different. Because I've been renewed. With the renewal of the courage of God. Father, we thank you for courage brings love. Courage brings light. Bathe them in it. Bathe us all in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you want this?
No, no, I don't need that. I can talk. Listen. We just got blessed with that, but I am a believer that you have to speak it from your own lips. Mm. And so I'm going to lead you in a declaration of that you are courageous and that you are filled with hope and you're filled with courage. So, Father.
Father,
I declare that I am filled,
I am filled
with your hope
and your courage.
I am courageous
in the name of Jesus.
I am prosperous
in all the gifts of the Spirit.
I am prosperous
in the fruit of the Spirit. In the next 8 years,
I will become more
on fire,
more courageous,
more bold,
and more. Of a person with direction.
I will walk
in the power
of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.